that you're going to abstain, you're going to draw back, you're going to hold back, praise God, from the wrath that you may have put on them for something that they have done. In other words, when you look at that word forbearing, there's another word that comes to my mind that's called magnanimous, praise God. And what magnanimous means, praise God, that we ought to be generous in our forgiving of others. Amen. You see, we have two men. I'm talking about believers today. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. He didn't write this letter to a bunch of sinners in the city of Ephesus. He wrote this to the church. And he's saying that we're going to have to forbear one another. Amen. Hold back the wrath. Don't be so quick. Amen. To judge somebody. Don't be so quick to condemn somebody. Praise God. While you are sitting there talking about condemning them, you know what you ought to be doing? Praise God. You ought to be praying day and night. Say, Lord, that's my brother. Lord, that's my sister. Lord, that's my aunt. Lord, that's my friend. Praise God. They haven't learned to put the bottle down yet. They haven't learned to put the needle down. But Lord God, don't kill them right now. Don't allow the devil to destroy their life. Praise God. All you need to do is intercede and pray for that person. Talking about forbearing one another in love. Amen. Not only is forbearing, but it is also love. Amen. That's number six. And I don't need to go back and talk about love. The Bible has four words that it used to describe love, but I don't want to go through all the rest of them. I want to look at that one word that's called agape. I'm talking about that God kind of love. You see, that agape love. Agape love means that, praise God, we must love one another so much that nothing they do or say will keep us from loving them and seeking the highest goal and good for them in our lives. That's what agape love is. And we might not like their sin, but praise God, we're going to like that person. We have to love that person. And if we're going to have this Christian behavior, praise God, that's going to bring unity, we're going to have to put all of these in place. And finally, praise God, it is what? It's peaceable. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It says it's peaceable. It's peace. In other words, God looking for some peacemakers and not peace breakers. I believe it was John 14 chapter verse 27, I believe. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world give it, give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, praise God. God given us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And praise God, and if we're going to behave, we're going to have that Christian unity that we talk about, that unity that we are striving to be like, praise God, then we are going to have to be some peaceable people. We're going to have to be some of the most peaceable people in the world. Amen. When somebody walks up to you and they curse you out, praise God, it's not the first thing you ought to resort to is finding you a baseball bat and trying to knock their heads off. Praise God, you ought to be humble enough to say that, oh man, you know that person is out of their mind, so I'm not going to really worry about that. I'm going to go over there and pray for that person. But I'm saying that, praise God, if we are going to have this unity, our behavior has to exhibit those seven characteristics that Paul has just laid out. Now, that was my first point, the behavior of Christian unity. Let me go on to the second one. Somebody look up there and tell me what time it is. I can't see if I turn around. How much time it is? It's 1 o'clock already? Is it 1 o'clock? So it's not 6 yet. Second, Paul speaks about the basis, praise God, of Christian unity. I'm going to go through these real fast. The basis. And he gives us seven. I need not to tell you that the number seven is the number of spiritual perfection. It's the number of completion. He gave us seven, praise God, behavior patterns, that characteristics. Now he gives us seven bases. I'm talking about foundational stones upon which this unity has to stand. Amen. Let's look at the first one. First one says, there is one body. Oh, yes, yes, yes. There is one body. And you know something? Jesus Christ is the head, and the church is the body. Praise God. The unity of the church is essential for what? The work of Jesus Christ. The only reason why we exist. Amen. Is to tell men, women, boys, and girls that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So there is one body. There is one spirit. There's only one spirit. There is only one spirit. Amen. When we used to be out there in the world, that was a whole bunch of spirits. That was the spirit of vodka. That was the spirit of whiskey. That was the spirit of beer. Amen. But there is one spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So the Bible, if you can learn, if we learn to put our foundational truth on these seven bases, praise God, you're talking about going to be some matured Christians. Praise God. We'll know that there's one body. We'll know that there's one spirit. But not only that, we'll know that there's only one hope. Can I tell y'all there's only one hope? There's only one hope that we all sitting in here hoping for. You know what that hope is? That's the consummation of our salvation. Now what that means, praise God, let me break it down. It means that what we are hoping for one day is to stand before God, amen, and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our only hope, amen, that exists. But not only is that there is one hope, there is only one faith. And I don't want anybody to get that misconstrued with the fact that we have a bunch of faith. I'm talking about, and Paul wasn't talking about no denominational stuff here. The faith that he's talking about, when he said there is one faith, he's talking about that one faith that is in Christ Jesus. The faith that means the only faith that you can have in a person that is going to bring total salvation to your life. That's the one faith. We have a whole bunch of denominations, but there is only one faith, and that is faith in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who saves us. Amen. Not only that, there's only one baptism. There's only one baptism because there's only one faith. Amen. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's an inward, praise God, belief. But baptism, there ain't but one. I know the Bible talks about it. Somebody say, well, man, that guy talked about there ain't one baptism. I've heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've heard about the baptism in fire and all that's in Scripture. But he's not talking about them, those baptisms. He's talking about one baptism. Praise God. There's one faith. Praise God. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an inward feeling that we ask him to come into our lives. But praise God, baptism is an outward expression of our inward feeling. Praise God. And that baptism, praise God, represents what? His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Praise God. So when Paul was talking about that baptism, he's talking about water baptism, praise God, whereby we go down under that water and we are buried, praise God, along as he was buried. Praise God. We have a newness of life. Then we come up again, praise God, and we're raised to a newness of life. It symbolizes his death. Praise God, because when you say that you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have died, like Paul said in Galatians 4:20. You have died, praise God. You've died, then you have been buried under that water, and then when you come up to the newness of life, it represents Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. He said that was one baptism. And finally, he says there is but one God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I forgot one. I got to go back. He said, as one Lord, I know I got to go back on this one. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, there's one Lord, and that Lord is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I tell you who is not them lords? It's not Reverend so-and-so. It's not Dr. so-and-so. It's not Evangelist so-and-so. The one, not Bishop so-and-so. It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that one Lord? Amen. We got too many people running around here trying to, we got too many people around here worshiping men. And when those men fall, they act like their whole life has just crumbled. Amen. That's why I love what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When you see me walking out of the boundaries of Jesus Christ, amen, as much as I like y'all, as much as you all like me, praise God, I want you to say, Martin done slipped on a banana peeling, praise God, and I'm not going to be following nobody who has slipped and bumped their head. Praise God. If you see me coming in here one day telling y'all that y'all need to go follow my formula, praise God, to get saved, you better say, he done had a little bit too much sun. He been out there riding that lawnmower too much in that sun, and that sun done got to him. Praise God. But there's only one Lord. And I got to tell y'all, it ain't me. Can I remind y'all that again? It's not me, Sister Dilborn. Amen. It's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And finally, he said, there's but one God. We know that there's only one God because God, way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verse 4, I believe, praise God, that says, hear ye Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. Amen. That's but one. But I like the qualifiers that Paul put on the end of that verse. Praise God. Look what he says. He said, first of all, he put four things about God. He said that he is the father of all. What that means? That means, praise God, he's the father because he created everything. He created all of us. Not only that, he said that he is above all. You see, when you're above something, can I illustrate this? Now, I'm above all. Now, from this vantage point, man, I can see everything. I can do everything. That means that I'm in control. See, he's above all, which means that he controls everything. Everything that's going on in your life. You sit there and get to crying and snotting. Praise God. Like God don't know what's going on in your life. Praise God. God.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Welcome. You are tuned into the Spiritual Warfare broadcast, where we will take you in an in-depth look at the Word of God. Let's tune in as Evangelist Wanda Bell takes you further into the Word of God.
The Word of God, their faith words, they have the power to heal, to deliver, to set free, and to perform any petition that we put before God. It will perform that petition, thanks of God. But if we don't trust